All right? So anybody was supposed to be in my tutorial group today but couldn't find it? No. Yeah? Wow, none of my, well, other than one person I've spoken to already, because any of you, who's supposed to be in my tutorial group? Do you know? Who's, let's see, so you're supposed to be, who else is supposed to be in my tutorial group? Who? Yeah, you, and only a few, where are the others? Yeah. Today at 2. At 2 today. You don't know which tutorial group you're in?
Well, you asked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know my tutorial group.
Oh, so it wasn't you. No, it's all right, because if you tried to come to my tutorial group, the tutorial did happen, but there was the Board of Examiners meeting that might have confused you. Then you should join a different group for this week, right? So if you miss my tutorial. Okay, so the other thing, I've received a few questions by email, so if I've not answered all of them yet because I've been quite busy the past 2 days, so I'll try to reply to them. If one of you have email, if you've emailed and you haven't heard from me yet, don't worry, you will hear from me. And the other thing is, if you think I'm going too fast during the lecture, right, please raise your hand, just tell me to slow down a bit, because it can happen. There was a lot of material, especially on Thursday, and quite a bit on Friday too, so please, I won't be offended, right? It depends how you say it. But, you know, I won't be offended. So I will slow down, because it does happen from time to time. All right, so if you're all happy, any questions? No? So if you're all happy, let's start. And as long as there's nobody coming in to do an announcement or anything, we can definitely start. Right, so today what we're going to do, we're going to start looking at search a little bit. So we're just going to, it's really just introducing some of the things we're going to be looking at in more details over the next few lectures, right? So a lot of this will probably be familiar to some of you, right? So don't be completely, you know, bored or anything like that, but it's just important to set the scene so that we can carry on when we look at A-star search and all these kind of things afterwards. Okay, so the idea for this particular lecture is that we're going to look at what the notion of problem-solving agents. Guys, you happy? Wait for these guys to go in. So I was just asking, any of you guys who just come in, any of you were supposed to be in my tutorial group this week or today at 2? No? All right. Wow, where are my students? So we're going to be looking at problem-solving agents. And we'll look at various types of problems as well, and what sort of issues arise because of the various types of problems that we may have to deal with. And the notion of problem formulation and a few example problems, and basically introduce the basic kind of idea for search algorithms. It's just basic kind of thing, right? So the first thing is, okay, we'll just hit you immediately. What do I mean by problem solving agent, right? So here's a bit of pseudocode there already. So this is known very often as a formulate search execute design for agents, right? So the idea is, right, you're going to have your percept there again, right? You're going to have a simple problem solving agent of some kind in this case, and it's going to have a percept of some kind, right, whatever, and it's going to return some action, right? So based on this percept, actually, it's going to find a sequence of actions, and then but it returns one action at a time. Right, so sequence, sec is going to be an action sequence, which is initially empty, so when we're starting, right? There's a notion of state, which is some description of the current world state, whatever that is, right? We'll see in a second examples of this. And a goal, which is initially empty, right? So it's going to formulate a goal for this one. And a problem, which is also initially nothing there, so it's going to formulate a problem based on the percept. So the idea is, okay, it's there, it's got its state. Based on the percept, it's going to update its state, right? It's going to say, okay, that's the state I'm in based on this particular percept, right? Now what it does next is to say, okay, is there a sequence of action that I have already, that I'm already dealing with? If not, it's going to try and formulate one, right? So the first thing that it needs to do based on its state and performance measure that it may have is going to try and formulate what is the goal it's trying to achieve, right? So it's going to try and formulate some kind of goal based on whatever its performance, whatever the state is, and whatever it needs to do. So it formulates the goal. Once it's formulated the goal, it's going to say, okay, based on this, and the state that I'm in, and the goal, right, and the particular actions that I can do, for instance, it's going to try and formulate the actual problem and decide what sort of actions are suitable for me to solve this problem, right? What sort of things I should do. So it formulates what's known as a problem, right? We'll look at an example soon. And then this is the bit where it does the search, right? It gives the problem to some search algorithm. Right now, we're not specifying what the search function is. Right? We're going to see various types of search functions in the following lectures. Right? So it's going to do a search and come up with a sequence of action that is going to accomplish that, hopefully is going to fulfill that goal, right? Okay. If it cannot come up with anything, it just returns null action, says I couldn't figure out anything for some reason, right? Otherwise, it says the action that I need to return is the head of that sequence, right? Do this now, and assign the rest of the sequence that I've worked out to sec, right? So based on a particular percept, it sort of says, okay, this is where, for instance, well, we'll see, it's going to do this to try and formulate a whole sequence of things towards solve, so that it can solve the actual goal that it's formulated, right? So that's why it's known as the formulate, right? The idea of search and then execute the action. That's formulate, search, execute, design. Very simple, okay? So that's the idea you have to bear in mind. So let's look at a particular example, right? So this is the example that we use. So it's like in Romania, it's from Russell and Novik. So you're on holiday in Romania. Of course, I'm going to mispronounce all these names throughout the lecture, and there are enough of you I've heard to in this lecture to actually give me a good beating afterwards. So please don't, right? So you're on holiday in Romania, you're currently in Arad. Oh, feel free to interrupt me to tell me how to pronounce it. And the flight leaves tomorrow from Bucharest, right? So the idea is I have a flight that leaves tomorrow from Bucharest. Maybe, you know, if I miss it, you know, I don't have any money to spend on another ticket, right? It's a non-changeable, I can't change this flight or whatever, I have to take it. So here I am, I'm in Arad currently. So the first thing that I want to do is to formulate the goal, right? What is it that the goal is in this case? Well, it's to be in Bucharest in time to actually catch my flight, for instance, right? Or be there for some reason or other. So that's the goal, so formulating of the goal, right? Next thing is, okay, let's formulate the problem, right? So formulating the problem means identifying what is it that I call the states in this case and what is it or the actions. So for instance, in this case, I say, well, my states are going to be the various cities along the way from Arad to Bucharest, right? And the action would be to drive between the cities, right? Or be driven between the cities, right? So that's what you means by formulating the problem. And to find the solution, this is where it becomes interesting. You need to come up with a way, you know, a sequence of cities that are going to lead you to Bucharest. So Arad, how do you say this one?
Sibiu
and?
Făgăraș.
It is Făgăraș. And then Bucharest, see? I don't know any of these places. Well, I've heard of this one.
Actually a reasonable route.
Is it a reasonable one?
Yeah.
See, intelligent agent. Yeah. The guys from Russell and Novik have been there, obviously. Well, they've used the map. So that's the idea, right? So that's a reasonable route, apparently, to go there, a sequence of cities that will lead me there. Oh, well, you're saying it's reasonable based on what? Distance? Time? So we're going to see later, there might be alternatives, right? What's reasonable depends on the agent. Maybe you want to get there through the scenic route, or maybe you want to go there first, or whatever. But if you want to get there tomorrow, probably you don't want the scenic route. You want to get there, you know, going for the shortest distance. So that's the idea of the solution. How you find the solution is going to depend on your search algorithm, okay? So one thing that could be quite helpful is to actually have a map that helps you, right, to actually figure out how you're going to do this. So this map, we're going to come back to this, or at least this, you know, this simplified map of, you know, just showing cities and straight lines between them. You know, we're going to use this over and over for various examples, or not just today, but also in some of the other lectures. So you are here, you want to get there. So, you know, there are various ways you could try and get to there, right? So apparently this one is reasonable. No, is that the one you said was reasonable?
Yeah.
And well, this one looks reasonable too, but I don't know why it's not. Depends on the distance maybe. Or you could go like this, right? Why not? What else could you do? Well, that's pretty much it. Oh, you could go like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. So what's reasonable is going to be interesting. All right, so the thing is, what can you say about a particular problem like this if I have a map, right? If I have a map, what does it mean, right? It actually makes my life much easier. It's going to decide what type of problem I'm actually dealing with. If I don't have a map and I only know I'm in Arad, for instance, and I need to go to Bucharest, how do I figure out the way to get there, right? So I can just randomly pick a road and go, right? Hopefully we're getting there. But if I have a map, I can actually decide very easily how I'm going to get there. So it changes the nature of the problem you're actually dealing with, right? So, for instance, you have the notion of deterministic, fully observable one, right? So if your problem is deterministic and fully observable, so you end up with what's known as a single state problem, right? So the agent knows exactly where it is at any particular time. Right, it knows exactly which state it will be in, and the solution is just a sequence. So if I have a map, what sort of problem do you have?
Fully
observable. Is it deterministic? Why not? If it's not deterministic, why isn't it? because there could be roadworks or something, right? The road is closed. You're thinking about going this, but this time they've closed the road or something's happened down that, you can't go there, right? So it's not, so not necessarily deterministic. Here's another one. So if your problem is not observable, then you end up with this sensorless problem, right? So sometimes known as a conformant problem. So the agent, I have no idea where it is. The solution is still a sequence. So have you ever seen this program? I always forget its name, where these guys are dropped in the desert somewhere and they're meant to go, and they're told they need to get to Paris from the middle of Russia or something like that. Have you ever seen this program? Where they just dropped somewhere, they don't even know where they are to start with. No? You don't know this? So, and they need to find their way. They don't even have that much money either, right? So they need to find their way back. Obviously, why aren't they given much money? If you give them Russian money, they'll know they're in Russia, right? So don't give them anything. So it's actually a program on TV. I can't remember its name. You see, I watch too much late TV. Yes. Anyway, so, and they have to figure out how to get to Paris, and it's a race because they're different teams, right? They all drop, and they just have to find their way out and make their way to the nearest city somehow. Imagine being dropped in the middle of the desert, not knowing where you are, and having to pick a particular direction to go in. So it's not that easy, right? So you have no idea where it is. Hopefully, eventually, you do know where you are, right? And it can be non-deterministic and or partially observable. So you have the notion of what's contingency problem, right? So the percepts provide new information about the current state. So this one, for instance, where you're dropped somewhere, eventually you get to a particular city, you can figure out based on your knowledge of geography or whatever, and that where you are, or you might, you know, talking to people or whatnot. And then what happens in this kind of problem, you often interleave the search. So you do a bit of search and you execute something, and then you do more search and you keep going like this, right? And of course, there's another one which is like could be an unknown state space completely, right? So, and then it's a complete exploration problem. You have no idea at all what the state space is like. Okay, but that's just to show that, you know, depending on, you know, on the various types, you know, on what your environment is like, right? And you end up with different types of problems. The fact that I give you a map is going to change what type of problem you have if you're trying to get from Arad to Bucharest, for instance. If I don't give you a map, it's a different problem, right? So please bear this in mind. Any questions? No? Okay, so here's another little example of this, our vacuum world. So we can assume that, for instance, if we're in a single state, so we know exactly where we are, and we know we're starting in state 5. So here's the thing about the world. In this case, you can move left or right, and you're going to suck up the dirt. And if you're left, you move left, you stay left. If you're right, you move right, you stay right. Right. So you don't go through the wall, or you don't go through the wall or anything like that. Right. So what would be the solution in this case? If I'm saying I know I'm there, right? So what I can do to make sure that I am going to do things right, I just move right and I suck up the dirt. So that's all I do, right? So that just goes to show if it's a single state problem and you know exactly where you are, and this is the state you're in, you just move right and you do immediately what you need to do. But what happens if you're in a kind of sensorless problem, right? You know your world is like this, but you could be in any of these particular states, right? What you do know, for instance, is that in whatever state you are, if you do a right, you're going to end up in one of these, right? Because if you're right already, nothing happens, you just stay there. If you're left, you just move right. So what you could do, the solution in this case could be right, just move right, suck up the dirt, move left, suck up the dirt. So you will clean everywhere. That's just giving you a way of doing this. So you do this, then you do this, right? So that's all you do in this case. But what if it's a contingency problem where you have a non-deterministic, the actual robot vacuum cleaner may actually leave dirt on the carpet, right? And it's a partially observable one where you know the location and whether there's dirt at the current location. That's all you know. You don't know whether there's dirt in a different location, right? So, and the percept that you can have, for instance, that is that you don't know which state you're in, right? You just know that you just know where you are, left, and it's clean. So what does this mean? That for you, if this is the percept that you have, what you can deduce is that you're in either of these two, but you don't know which one it is, right? So what do you do? What's the solution in this case? Well, given that you can sense, you can just say, okay, if there is dirt, you know, move right, right? You know you're in this, move right. If there is dirt, then just hoover it up, right? So that's one thing you could do. So that just goes to show that the solution is different based, you know, the sequence of solution that you have. The actual sequence that you come up with is different depending on the type of problem that you have, and you to end up doing the same thing, right? That's all he's trying to show, that depending on what sort of problem type it is, the act of doing this simple vacuum world is going to have different solutions, right? In each case, this one could be that, and the first one is more trivial, right? It all depends what you can see and what you know about the problem. Any question? So same thing, same world, depending on what you can see, whether you can sense everything, whether it's like, you know, deterministic or contingency, etc., you end up with different solutions. Okay, so what I'm trying to do is that it doesn't depend on exactly on the problem that you're tackling, right? It doesn't depend on whatever you're, it also depends on what is it that you can see or not see, and what is it you know about the environment. Okay, so we're going to look at the single state problem formulation in a bit more detail, because we can assume we can look at our problem with the map, right? So in this case, what we're going to have is that we're going to define the problem by four items. So if you ask, you know, give the four items that are going to define the notion of a single, you know, for a single state formulation, what do you need, right? This is basically that what this is asking you, right? It's asking, first of all, you need to have an initial state. You need to know where you are, right? So in this case, it could be in Arab, for instance, right? So that's my initial state, right? And then what you're going to have is this notion of an action or success, actions or successor function. So it's a successor function that's going to give you what the next state is going to be. So it's going to be, well, not just that. It's going to give you the set of action state pairs from which you can work out, if you're in Arad, if you do a particular action, what is going to be the state that you're in. So for instance, so if you go back to the map, right, if you're there, right, and your action is to drive to Zerin, right, so then it's easy. You're going to end up there, right? So you could have another one, which would be this one, another one, which would be that one, right? So you have three choices in this case. So each one constitutes a separate action and state pair, right? So this is what this would be. So if you're the successor for the successor function given Arad, right, or in Arad in this case, if you want to be more pedantic about it, is to say, okay, I can do this action there. You know, that's just a way of writing it, right? I could have written drive bracket Arad Zerin, right? It's just a notation. It's up to you if you want to write something else there, as long as it's understandable. That's just using the arrow. The arrow is not formally defined. But that's just basically saying, you know, if I do the action going from Arad, the transition from Arad to Zerin, then I end up in Zerin. So this is often known as a transition system, right? So if any of you do more of kind of computability or anything to do with like more theoretical computer science, you'll come across transition systems all the time, right? So this is known as a transition system. So it says, you know, if I do the transition from Arad to Zerin, that's the action, I'm going to end up in Zerin. Seems pretty obvious, but you need this in order to characterize your actual single state problem in order to formulate it, right? And the other thing you need to be able to say is whether you're actually actually at a goal, right? So this is the goal test. So it can be quite explicit like this, which says, okay, am I in Bucharest now? Am I there yet? So am I there already, right? So this is a very typical kind of thing. Or it could be more implicit, right? It could be kind of some kind of function that needs to compute whether you're checkmate, for instance. So it could be something where you need to do some work and you need to do some computation, something that's going to tell you whether it's checkmate or not. It's not just a question of, you know, explicitly being able to figure it out. It's more implicit. You need to do some work to figure out whether it's checkmate or whatever, right? So maybe, you know, it could be something different. You're in Bucharest, you're just dropped there, but in the middle of a building that looks like this, right? You can't tell whether you're in Bucharest or not. You would have to do some work. You would have to step outside, hopefully, and figure out whether you are there or not, right? So just to tell you. So, or maybe you have someone, if it's obvious, then somebody will just tell you, or, you know, there'll be a big sign says they're Bucharest or whatever, right? So the other thing that you need is some kind of path cost, right? It's usually what's known as an additive function, so it's going to be increasing. So, for instance, it could be the sum of distances. So you need to come up with something to measure the path, the cost of the path from getting from A to B, or from getting from Arad to Zerin, for instance, right? So, for instance, it could be like from getting from there to there, it's the path of the straight line distances between the various cities, for instance, right? That's one possibility. Or it could be the number of actions executed. You need to come up with something that's reasonable. Maybe you want to say, you know, it's the number of time I turn right. I don't know how useful that would be. Maybe, you know, maybe you don't want to turn right very often or something, or whatever, right? So it's the number of actions executed, number of time you have to stop or go or whatever. Or maybe, you know, for you the path cost is the number of any toll roads or anything like that along the way. So maybe you want to minimize that or whatever, right? If you have no money. So it has to come up with something that's going to, you know, some additive function of some kind, some function that's going to be, like, for instance, the sum of distances, right? Which seems quite obvious in this case. Right, and what you have to able you to do this is what's known as a step cost function, right? Basically, which is going to give you the cost of taking an action A in state X to reach state Y, right? And usually this is assumed to be greater or equal to zero. It could be zero because sometimes you don't pay any attention to the cost. We'll see this, it gives you different search and different types of search. Some of them you don't take it into account, right? So you have what's known as a step cost function, right? And then the solution is a sequence of, so you have these four things, right? So initial state, the transition system, so basically the successor function, the goal test, and some additive path cost function, some function that's going to give you the cost of paths, right? And the solution is a sequence of action from the initial state to a goal state, which seems pretty obvious in this case. Any questions? Generally happy with this? Okay, good. You're all very quiet. So how do you go about, this is all very good, right? So if I'm looking at a particular problem, how do I go about, I'm going to make it awkward for them. No. So how do you go about actually selecting a particular state space to address a particular problem? You want to solve a particular problem, you need to come up with some way of solving this, right? The thing is, like, as you know, right, this is like stating the obvious unless you always live in a virtual world of some kind, like the real world, unless you can't tell the difference between the real world and anything else, the real world itself is quite complex, right? So the state space, in this case, right, you don't want to be solving something in the real world. You want to be solving something for the real world, but not necessarily in the real world, if that makes sense. So the state space must be abstracted for problem solving, because you're hoping that you can come up with an abstraction of the problem that you can actually solve using some way offline, for instance, like, you know, doing it, you know, just like this on paper, and then you can apply it in the real world, right? If you had to do it in real life in order to solve it all the time, none of us would go on holiday anywhere, right? Because if you had to actually do it to figure out what's going on, that wouldn't work. So that's why we all sit in a hotel room whenever we go somewhere. Well, at least I guess we try. And we go through the guide and we go with a map and we try to decide what is it we're going to see and try and plan, usually. So in this case, what we have is a notion of an abstraction. So this is known as an abstraction, where you're going to abstract over all these various bits and pieces. So you abstract over the notion of state. So you're going to have an abstract notion of state, which is going to be something that maps to the real, to the set of real real states, right? So in ARID is actually an abstraction, because it's not, why is it an abstraction? Why is it more simple than in real life?
There's many places in ARID you could be.
Exactly. You could be in ARID, but you know, anywhere, right? So you could be far from your car, you could be far from the bus line, it could be anywhere. So it's real abstraction. You're sort of saying, I'm going to assume that getting from Arad to Zerin, getting out of Arad is not going to take me 5 hours just to get out, like Edinburgh, right? You could be on South Bridge, you could be here, whatever. Getting out of Edinburgh is a real pain, right? So when I say I'm in Edinburgh, I assume that, you know, I'm abstracting away from the fact that there's a monstrous problem with, like, you know, circulation and getting off Princess Street and all these kind of things, right? But you can't always do that, right? Have you ever, obviously, don't you, when you have to go to the airport, right? You know you have to go from here, maybe you're going to Bucharest, wherever, right? You're going home, for instance, just take an example. So you do plan ahead, right? You don't just assume I'm in Edinburgh, I'm going to be at, well, actually, I make this mistake all the time. I sort of forget that it's going to take me 1 hour to get to the airport, sort of assume, oh, I'll be at the airport and I'll be leaving almost immediately. But no, right? So actually, in the real world, if that's important, actually you will make it a finer grain kind of thing. Your abstraction can't just be, if I'm going to go to the airport to take the plane to go from Edinburgh to Edinburgh Airport to Paris, I can't just say I'm in Edinburgh necessarily and be in Paris next. I probably need to plan a bit, and I'll probably need to make my state slightly more complicated than just saying this. I need to say I'm in, you know, wherever, Crichton Street, right? Just how do I make my way to the airport? Because that's quite difficult as well, right? It takes at least, well, it depends. If you're going by bus, it takes at least 30 minutes just for the bus to get there. And it depends on the time of the day and all these kind of things. But anyway, we can abstract away, and in this case, we say, okay, we're in Arad, for instance, meaning that, you know, it's easy to get out of Arad. Well, that's true, it's a different issue, right? So the other thing is that actions themselves are complex combination of real actions, right? It's easy to say drive from Arad to Zerin, right? It represents a complex set of possible routes, detours, rest stops, etc. in real life. You know this, right? Anybody who's being driven or has to drive from A to B, from here to London, you know it's easy to say driving from here to London is, I don't know, 400 miles or whatever. But we know it's more complicated than this, right? There are rest stops, you have to stop. There are all sorts of bypasses. There are all sorts of things that can happen, right? So it's much more complicated. But we need to abstract over the action. And the action is, well, driving from there to there is the main thing that I need to do. And I'm going to abstract away from the other so that I can come up with a solution. Otherwise, my solution can be too complicated, right? And for guaranteed realizability, though, any real state in Arad must get to some real state in Zarin, if I'm talking about this particular transition, right? So that's the thing that I want. I want to have the notion of realizability. That, you know, even though I'm abstracting away, I'm not abstracting too much, right? That, you know, if I say I'm in Arad, well, it maps to being in Arad. So I'm saying I'm in Appleton Tower, it maps to being in Edinburgh, for instance, right? Well, maybe that's, yeah, so actually I should say the other way. I mean, Edinburgh maps to, for instance, being in the Appleton Tower, right? So, and the other one is the same, right? And then you come up with an abstract solution, which is just going to be a set of real paths that are solutions in the real world. So this is the sequence we saw before, right? Very easy. So you would just say this, where is it? This, the reasonable one. So that's the one, right? But that's really, really, it's a solution, right? It's an abstract solution. It's just saying go from there to there to there to there, right? But it's not, but it's really an abstraction of what you would have to do in real life. You would need to get a car, you would need to actually drive the car, you would need to make sure that there's gas in the car, et cetera, right? You need to ensure that you actually know how to drive and have an valid license and all these kind of things, right? And maybe have another driver because it's a long way, you want somebody else to drive, et cetera, right? But at least in some way, the abstract solution should be easier than the original problem. Because I'm giving you a solution about how to do this, I'm giving you the route, but I'm not giving you everything else, right? So then, you know, it's an easier in that way because it's just telling you this city, that's, and then you're at your goal, right? So this is important. So this notion of abstraction, but you need it needs to be gotten right as well. It's not that easy necessarily. So this is a fairly simple problem, but when you're working with real life problems where it's not about traveling from A to B, it can be quite difficult to come up with an appropriate abstraction that's going to be good enough for what you're trying to do. Maybe if you make it too high level, maybe the abstraction is too high level. It's just say, well, from Arad, we know we can get to Bucharest. That's it. Arad, Bucharest. How good is that as a solution? It could be a solution, but the abstraction is really, really too coarse then, for instance, right? So if we look at this particular problem again, so I could say, okay, what are the states, the action, the goal test, and the path cost? So if I want to characterize a particular problem there, so for instance, I could characterize it like this. It's a pair of dirt and robot locations in this case, right? Why not, right? So it's dirt and robot locations, so I know where I am and I know where the dirt is, right? And the actions would be like left, right, and sucking up the dirt. So that would be the actions in this case. And the goal test is just, is there any dirt where I am, right? Or at any location, actually. Well, yeah, that's the goal test. You don't want any dirt anywhere, not just when you are. No dirt anywhere, right? And the path cost, I can just make it up. It's just one per action, for instance, right? So each time I move, it's one. So I just keep adding, right? So I can come up with anything. It could be 10, it could be 50, it could be 100. It doesn't matter, right? So that's a simple problem, okay? So what about this one, the 8 puzzle, right? So you know this, right? When you have to rearrange the tiles, in this age of Facebook and all this, in this age, we don't know. Yeah, actually, these games are making a big comeback. Any of you who play using your phones, right? All these little games are all there as apps and all this. But maybe not this one, it's too simple. But anyway, here's a particular problem. So my start state, for instance, is this, and my goal state is this, right? If you haven't looked at the slides, right, the natural thing to say, okay, what would be the states for this, right? And to me, very often, you know, if you look at it the first time and you don't know the solution, you know, the states would be, okay, what would be the states? Assuming those of you who haven't looked at the next slide.
All of the tiles.
Hey?
All of the tables.
Like all of the tiles there. I mean, what does that mean?
Like a matrix?
Yeah.
Numbers from, say, 0 to 1, so you also have the empty.
Yeah.
From 0 to 3.
And so the position of the tiles, you mean like in a grid? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fine. What would be the action, though? That's the interesting thing, right? I mean, if you've looked at the next slide, it seems obvious. What is the action in this case? Yeah, it is moving the blank tile. Is that obvious? It's not that obvious, but it is about moving. You don't, in real life, you don't move the blank, right? It moves by implicitly when you move the tile. But the thing is about moving the blank tile. So that's the thing that's a bit not necessarily obvious when you're looking at this problem if you're trying to formulate it, right? So, I mean, maybe it is. To me, it's not necessarily that obvious. And the goal test will be just, you know, whatever the state is given here. So move blank left, right, up, and down, right? So location of tile. And the path cost? Well, one per move, for instance, you could say that's the cost. But maybe you want to come up with something smarter. What could be something smarter? It could be like the distance of any particular tile for instance, from, you know, you could come up with something where you, you know, how much do you reduce the distance from any particular tile to the actual position it should be in? There are also some different kind of costs you could associate, right? So, but one would be just one per move each time the blank moves, right? And so if you read in Russell and Novi, you find that these n puzzles are actually very difficult. They're NP hard for arbitrary n puzzle, right? So optimal solution is NP hard. So it's not an easy problem at all. This one is, you know, so that's why, you know, the bigger the grid gets, the harder it gets. So, okay. So here's just another example, just to show if I had some robot like this, just completely made up, assembly robot of some kind. So what would be the states? Well, it could be the real valued coordinates of the robot joint angles, right? The angles and the parts of the objects to be assembled, right? So these kind of things. So that could be the actual state, because you know exactly where you are in the, given the various values of the angles, right? And the action, we're just moving these joints continuously, right? And the goal test, you've been able to assemble whatever you're trying to build, right? And what's the path, what's the cost in this case? Well, it's the time to execute, for instance, right? How long it takes for you to do it. These are just a particular example. I just, you know, you can just make this up in a way, right? As long as you come up with something sensible, right? Okay. Questions? No? All right. So this leads us to this bit now. So we remember the algorithm is this. I'm not going to go all the way back. So, or should I? Let's go back. So this is the algorithm. So we've looked at the notion of formulating the goal, right? And also formulating the problem. Now comes this bit, right? So we need to actually do some search. And this is what these lectures are mostly about, right? It's the notion of what we're going to have different types of search, right? So now we need to formulate the notion of search, right? And one of the basic things that we can do is this notion of tree search algorithms. So here's the basic idea. It's an offline simulated exploration of state space by generating successors of already explored states, that is, expanding the states. What does offline mean? You know?
The environment doesn't change while you're thinking.
It's a bit like that, but it's a very specific notion for search. So you have online versus offline search. Offline search means you give it the problem and it comes up with a solution completely on it. That's it. You just give it the person and it's going to solve it just like that. No, it doesn't need any input to try as it's doing it, right? That's the idea of offline. It's like, I've got the problem, I give it the problem, and it tries to find a solution to it, and it doesn't assume that the problem is changing while it's doing that. It's coming up with a solution. Whereas an online one is one that can actually, as it does the thing, you can give it input and more information, and it can change what it's actually trying to find. So we're going to go with the offline idea. So I'm going to assume that while I'm trying to find a path from Arad to Bucharest, it's not going to be that overnight the roads, the configuration of the map is going to completely change. It's going to be pretty much static, like you said. So basically, I can do it as an offline problem, right? So, and what I'm going to do is to try and generate these successor states, right? So I'm going to be in a particular state, I'm going to try and generate the successor. So that's why you need to have this successor function, okay? So here's the pseudocode for the tree search kind of problem here. It's going to take a problem and return a solution or fail, right? So if you look at it, it says, you know, there's this notion of frontier. So if any of you is using the second edition of Russell and Novick, which you really shouldn't in a way, it's changed the terminology. Before, this used to be called a fringe. I'm more used to the notion of a fringe, but now they call it a frontier. So the slide's been updated to reflect the latest edition, right? So it initializes the frontier with using the initial state of the problem. So the frontier or the fringe, for instance, when you start in for the map problem, going to Bucharest, you would initialize it with the fact that you're in Arad, right? So that would be the first thing, right? So then what you do is then you're going to loop, right? So if the frontier is empty, well, there's nothing I can do. I just stop, right? I just return failure. So you're hoping that as you're expanding and keep expanding, you will reach the goal before you don't have anything else to expand, right? That's the idea. So what you do otherwise is to choose a leaf node, right, and remove it from the frontier. So a leaf node means it's something that you can expand next, right? So if the node contains a goal state, right? So you'll see there's something interesting here. There's a difference between the notion of a node and a state, right? So there's a notion of a node that we're going to look at in a little bit more detail later. So if a node contains a goal state, right, so then return the corresponding solution, right? It doesn't say that, it says find the corresponding solution and return it, right? So if that contains a goal state, hopefully you find a path down the tree, right? Otherwise, expand the chosen node, adding the resulting node to the frontier. So I'm there, I'm in Arad, I expand, Is one of these Bucharest? No, if it's not, all three of them get added to the frontier, and I'm going to try then next time to expand one of them. Which one I choose to expand is going to depend on my search strategy. Right now, you know, it's still going to be a tree search. We're also going to look at graph search. But, you know, depending on which one I pick is going to depend on many factors. Maybe it's going to depend on how much, which one is furthest, right? Maybe I want to expand the one which is further or the one which is closer or whatever. It's going to be, and there's going to be some bit where you're going to try and guess how far it is to the destination as well. So all these can come into play and you have different type of search strategies depending on which one you're going to expand. Are you happy? So I'll show you an example. Here you go, right? So this is my initial state there, right? So what I do, so my frontier is going to have just this to start with. It's the fringe. It's the list of things that I have to expand. That's the frontier, right? It's like as far as I've gone in the search problem. So I'm going to pick this one, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to expand it. So once I expand it, I get like these three cities, right? Sibiu, Timisoara, and Zeren. Right? Did I pronounce this right, more or less? Not quite? Timisoara. Ah, Timisoara. So hey, so is this one Sibiu then? No, it's not. Just Sibiu, this one. So I have these three, right? So what happens now, these are going to be my frontier. I'm going to push these three in the frontier. So that's my new frontier. Now I've expanded this. I have these three as possible candidates to expand next, right? And what's going to happen, that what I was trying to say, is that eventually when we're looking at these various types of algorithms or search strategies, I'm going to have a choice which one I'm going to pick to expand, and it's going to depend on my particular search strategy that I'm using, right? So in this case, I could assume I have these three. I just picked, for instance, this one. So what happens is that I expand this, I find its child nodes, right? So this is the parent, these are the children node there, right? So these are known as the children, so child nodes. So each one of these is a child node there. So I have Arad, Fargas, what's this one? Oradia, and this one, I really can't tell. What's this one? That's the one. So, and this one, right? So I have these four there. So now my new frontier is all of this and this, right? So depending on my search strategy, have you seen depth first before? So if this were my tree, what would depth first try to do next? Yeah, you might try to pick that, but that's a bad idea, as you can tell, right? Because you're back, you'll be back where you started. So we need to find ways of actually detecting loops and all these as well. So this is where it becomes important. So some of these are not trees, it's actually a graph, right? So I could pick either of these, but I could, yeah, you're right, I could just try and do this if I'm just writing it like that, right? But that's where it's going to be important to not go through the same states again, and all these kind of things are going to become part of the search algorithms, right? So you definitely don't want to go back there, right? You keep looping. So that's no good. So that's the idea. So I expand this, I find the child nodes, right? For each one, I pick a candidate in the frontier, expand, and then this is my new frontier now. So all of these. And the next step will be to pick another one. I could pick this one, I could pick this one, I could pick that one, but hopefully I won't, or any of these. It will depend on the search strategy. If I was, you know, if I were doing bread first, which one would I pick? Eh? Yeah, bread first in this case, if you assume it's fixed, right? Yeah, so that would be the next one. So you've done depth first, you've done breadth first, what else have you done? Have you done iterative deepening? There must be something you haven't done, otherwise, you know, what's the point of all these search lectures? Depth and breadth, have you done any of these best first search or anything like that? No? Okay, good. What's that? Not do. So even depth first is new to you? That's good. Well, no, that's not good. Don't remember anything from what I said last week and today, or is it from last year? This is okay so far. Good. Right, so I mentioned something. So this is our search algorithm, and this is what we have here. We have this function that's going to expand a child node, right? So remember, I mentioned this. There is a distinction between state and node. So the search tree is going to consist of these nodes. So what is it? What is an actual child node in this case? What does it contain as information? This is on the next slide, but the function child node is going to do something like this. It's going to take the problem. It has a parent already, so it has a node there, so the one that contains the state in Arad, for instance, and some action, like go from Arad to Zeren, for instance. So what it does, it says it returns a node, right, such that in the node you have that the state has been is set like this. It's set to the result of being in the parent state and doing that particular action. So, for instance, the new state will be in Zeren, right? And the parent is set just like a pointer. It's set to the parent. It's just set to the parent that you pass the function. And the action is just going to be the action that was done in this particular case. And the path cost is going to be whatever the path cost was to get to the parent plus the step cost in this case from going from the parent and doing that particular action, right, to getting to this particular node, right? So this is the notion of a child node that's just going to take this and it's going to expand and it's going to build a new node out of it. And the thing that you have to bear in mind is that, you know, the notion of a node is a data structure, right? So in this case, very often we don't distinguish when we're explaining it, right? So when I gave you the search tree, I said, oh, Arad and Zerin, et cetera, are just the other nodes. They're not really they're the states that are contained within particular nodes. So when it comes to the implementation, the nodes are more complicated than just saying, you know, something which is like Arad, for instance, or whatnot. Right? So a state is a representation of an actual, usually a physical configuration of some kind, or the state of being in Arad, or being in Edinburgh, or whatever. Right? A node itself is a bookkeeping data structure. Right? So this is an implementational detail. When we're talking about a search tree, we're actually talking about something which is an actual data structure. Right? And it's part of the search tree. It's a data structure that makes up the bigger search tree. Right? Basically, the search tree is a data structure, a tree is a data structure, and each node itself is a data structure. It could be implemented as a, if you know any programming, if you've done any Java, or any language, what can you use to write something like this? It could be implemented as a, you know about records, right? It could be implemented as a record, for instance, or whatever, right? So it's going to be a data structure of some kind that's going to contain the state, the parent node, the action, and the path cost, because these are what we return for in this bit there, right? So just bear this in mind, that when we're talking about the tree itself, we're talking about nodes, and that the state itself is something that's held within the node. So for instance, in this case, this is the state, and it's also stored there. And it also stores what action was made to get to that particular state there from that particular parent. It has a pointer to its parent, right? And what the cost was to get to here, based on the cost that's there, plus the cost of actually getting into that state. Okay? So it's important to have this distinction. If we have all these kind of things there, so we have these four things, then it is easy to compute the components for a child node and return it, right? So you just use the child node function. Any questions? Do you follow this? So one thing that is important is that each child node, right, is going to have a pointer to its parent. This is what enables you to build the solution afterwards and give the cost of the solution and everything in real, when you're actually working with an algorithmic implementation of this. Right, because you need to be able to compute. You don't keep the solution, the cost separate. You keep the cost with each node, so that then you can work out exactly what is the cost of getting to the goal, for instance, right? Or what was the cost from getting from the parent to there, right? And what state you're in, okay? So once you reach the goal, then you can trace back using the child all the way down to the goal. The node has a pointer actually all the way up to the top of the tree, gives you the solution, right? As a sequence, okay? So yeah, any questions? All right, so if you don't have any questions, this is the summary. So problem formulation usually requires abstracting away from real-world details. It shouldn't be too difficult for you to sort of understand this, I guess, because, you know, if I've asked you to solve a problem, you will try to abstract it in some way or another. The question is, what level of abstraction do you use, right? You want to use the appropriate level of abstraction for a particular problem if you want to get a solution that's going to map to a real-world solution. Right? You have the notion of a state space that can then be explored. So we've looked at the notion of an agent that goes through this formulate, search, execute kind of design. Right? So when you formulate the goal, you formulate the problem, then you search. So we're going to look at search in more detail in the next few lectures. And then once you've got it, you execute the particular sequence of actions that you've come up as part of your search. Usually in this case, we're looking at these offline searches, meaning I give it a problem and it tries to come up with a solution. Completely, you know, it's not going to try and do anything and get any extra information as it's executing the solution, as it's trying to find a solution. It's going to assume that the problem is well defined and it doesn't change, so it's offline. And that's it. Any questions? No? Was it too fast? Was it okay? Nobody said anything, so I'm guessing it was sort of okay. Then you'll come and complain afterwards. So, the other thing is we will have, just to update you, so we're hoping to release the assignment today, but we still got a few things to change, so it's going to be probably next week. So you will have 3 weeks to do the assignment anyway, which is the standard time. So please bear this in mind when you start thinking about, have you received any other assignments already? Not yet? Oh, no problem then. They will all come together. as usual. So the other thing, like I said, some of you weren't there, so I've received a few questions from some people. I haven't had time to answer them, so I will do this, don't worry. And any questions, if you have, just send me an email if you think of anything when you're looking at this again, because of course you will be going through this again, right? Tonight, preferably, right? Anyway, thanks very much. I'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you.